I'm turning this evening to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21 and verse 19. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 19. This will be the starting point for our study on the subject of being endurers. Now we read the words of Christ in the text, "In your patience possess ye your souls." And they're very profound words. The modern translations tend to veer away from what we see in the older translations. They universally go for patience rather than endurance. The Greek word could be translated as patience or endurance. The moderns go for endurance. And then, possess ye your souls. The moderns tend to go in quite a different direction. By your endurance, you will live. You will save your life. Rather than our King James and other older versions that talk about possessing or acquiring your souls. It's quite an interesting set of differences between the old and the new. The possess ye your souls first. I'm not surprised that some of the modern translations follow the old post-war Revised Standard Version. I won't tie you with this. With something like save your lives. The ESV, which is the RSV, slightly improved, goes for that kind of idea. It's a rather materialistic translation. It's about saving your life. Well, it isn't. In its context, the deliverance of Christians in times of great persecution, the context demands, because of several other terms, the care of the soul. And so the alternative translation, which is equally valid, possess ye your souls, is chosen by the older versions. Possess ye. Well, literally, acquire, buy, purchase your souls. But we don't want to go down the avenue of purchase. Possess, acquire, keep hold of, if you like, your souls is much better. By patience, in times of great persecution and tribulation, you maintain your communion with God. You maintain your prayer and your faith and your loyalty, and you receive his blessing. And in that sense, you acquire and keep possession of your soul. And that's obviously the intention of the Lord and the original. But with the more materialistic translation, you'll save your life. That's a tendency of some of the modern versions to lurch in the direction of the Bible exhortations being all simply practical and about the here and now. And this shows up in a lot of places, particularly in the RSV, ESV. You know, when you've got an older version, a King James version, you are at least 30% of the way to reading the Bible in the original language, simply because the word order of the original is so often chosen and followed rather than radically revived into everyday English. It's what happens with the modern versions. They're over-revised into everyday English. So the word order is changed, and you often miss very important things by that. Well, here you're clinging tenaciously to the New Testament Greek word order, and you can see the sense of the word. But in your patience, now that's very interesting. Why do the old versions go for patience rather than for endurance? The Greek literally means bearing up or following closely after. There's a burden and you've got to bear it up. That's the word, that's its root, that's its derivation. Or you're pushing a cart or something uphill and you've got to push behind it. That's where the word comes from. Insurance might sound on the surface a much better English word. In your endurance. Yes, in a way it is. But there's a problem with the word endurance. And that is, you tend to endure grimly. It's something you don't enjoy at all. It's a hard task. Whereas patience, the alternative translation, has a lot of the sense of the original Greek, has a lot of cheer in it, and calm and peace. And there's calm and peace in patience. And you could just about squeeze in cheerfulness. You can be pretty exasperated when you're being patient. But you can squeeze in some cheer. Whereas it's very hard to do that with endurance. It's always rather grim. Another word that one or two people have tried, but it's been generally dismissed, is resistance. That's surprising. It's not too bad. If you could string words together and you could talk about impatient resistance, you'd be nearer the original. It's somewhere between patience and endurance. Patience has a disadvantage. Do you mind my discussing this instead of getting on? Patience is a bit too passive. You don't do anything much. You can do, but you don't do much in patience. You just take it all. Endurance is a bit more active. Suggests you're exerting some force and energy. So patience has its disadvantages too. If you could say in active patient endurance, you'd be rather nearer what we want. Try and think along those lines whenever you see this word patience. It's very active to maintain your patience. Why am I labouring this? Well, because, you know, it is an enormously important word in the New Testament, whether it's translated as endurance word group or patience word group. And I hope to show this quickly this evening. It's an enormously important word. It comes up repeatedly. Here we're taking it from the Lord. In your patience, possess ye your souls. You think about it, dear friends. If you were to single out one virtue that would enable you to maintain your communion with the Lord and maintain your spiritual activity and your prayer life and your faith and your loyalty, what would you choose? The Lord chose patience or patient endurance as the cardinal matter, the essential thing. That's extremely searching because it's patience we so often fail in, patient endurance. We don't think about it. We react badly to circumstances. We say things we think twice about we shouldn't have said. We don't hold on as we ought to, our standards. Patient endurance is constant attack coming at us from the world, our own flesh, and the devil. In your patience, possess, keep control of the operation of the soul, and so be firm and faithful and unswerving and at peace and happy at the same time. Cheerful. You think of the person who's superbly patient, and all sorts of things can go wrong and pressures come upon them, and they stay with a degree of serenity, even. They're serene and calm and resisting all the pressures. And we would all like to be like that so much of the time. And this is the great exhortation of the scriptures. By bearing up, by being strong in the Lord, who sees our every situation and knows and cares for us, and we'll pray to him and depend upon him and honour him. We'll see him near us. We don't want to let him down. We don't want to say those wrong things and react in that testy manner. And we'll derive from him in answer to prayer peace and power. Don't demoralise yourselves, friends, when under pressure. Don't complain too much. Just complain a little. to someone who can help you, someone who sympathizes, yes, but not over much. It undermines us. Don't lose sight of your calling and your testimony and the fact that you're under scrutiny. Don't lose sight of the promises of God. Don't get into bad habits. One slip leads to a second and a third and a fourth, and soon you haven't any control over the flesh and fallen human nature. In your patience, do I manifest patience? Am I developing patience? It's a vital component of holiness. Let me start turning to some scriptures. Romans chapter 5. I just want to give a glimpse in a short study this evening of the great prominence of patient endurance in the Bible. So in Romans 5 and verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Is that our reaction to trouble, to criticism, to being misrepresented by others, perhaps something unpleasant, even from a friend, something in our line of business, tribulations, difficulties and hardships, to say to ourselves, here is an opportunity for the exercise and the growth of patient endurance, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. It almost implies you'd never develop your patience but for tribulations. It's something that prospers and thrives and grows under pressure. So we glory in tribulations. We realize that God will use them and deepen and strengthen us. And they must come, because we're believers. And patience is a foundation for experience, greater spiritual experience. And that greater spiritual experience, verse 4, builds up our anticipation and desire for God and for heaven. And then, eventually, verse 5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So that's Romans 5:3. But just look on while you're in Romans to Romans 8 and verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body, great pressures in this life. And we long for that future life, when sin is ended and finished and gone, verse 24, for we are saved by hope, anticipation. But hope that is not seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, what you possess, what you have, why doth he yet hope for? And then this 25th verse, but if we hope, anticipate, for that we see not, then do we with patience. Patient endurance, wait for it. So patience is applied to the waiting period for heaven. And we're waiting for that great day and that final day, even if we're young. And look at the helps we have. Verse 26, we have prayer to help us in all hardships. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We have an intercessor within who translates our prayers into the language of heaven. And we could read down the verses. And verse 28, you have the certainty that God is over all and he will turn all hardships and difficulties and problems to our sanctification and our eternal bliss. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And then we have the great doctrines to resort to. Verse 29, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. The great doctrines of sovereign grace to comfort us and strengthen us. If truly his, we can never be lost. We have all these things That's the way to build up patience, to turn to them. Keep your eyes on the problem, the difficulty, the hurt, the misrepresentation, and it'll just grow in your estimation. And happiness will decline. But we turn to doctrinal comfort and to prayer and to hope and thoughts of eternity. And so we build up patient endurance. That's the whole sense of these verses in Romans 8. Just look on to Romans 15, where up it comes again in verses 4 and 5. And this is the purpose of the Old Testament. We often refer to this. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience or patient endurance and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So the narratives of the Old Testament, how God dealt with his faithful people, well, this builds up endurance and comfort. That's the great thrust. If we're not thinking about patient endurance, if we're not looking for it, if we're not expecting it, we'll miss these great passages and lessons. So we're told here, in effect, to watch out for the patience and the comfort of the Old Testament Scriptures. Now, as Christian people and as a church, I hope we are a sympathetic people. And when it's our turn to be in trouble, or to be plunged down, or in grief of some sort, I hope we will find our fellow Christians to be tender and sympathetic and helpful. We know we're not only an army as a church, we're also a hospital, and we care for one another. But at the same time, hospitals are for emergencies. Everybody doesn't live in a hospital ward. A minority of people, hopefully, at any time, are in hospital. It's an emergency. And the Christian life isn't a permanent hospital. Some modern Christians are trying to turn it into that. They're saying it's not just people who are sick in mind who need psychologizing. It's every single one of us. We're all patients now. We're all victims. We all need comfort and attention at a hospital bed, as it were, and care and cosseting and so on. Well, that's not the Scripture. The Scripture is patience, endurance, certainly sympathy when we can't cope and when we're truly sick. Certainly a hospital then for the cure of souls in their worst afflictions and conditions. But normally our great endeavor is to encourage each other to be strong and to persevere. That's why I direct attention to this tonight. Patience, how is my patient endurance, my cheerful resistance to problems? What state is it in? What measures do I take? Do I let myself grow weak and vulnerable by complaining and self-pity? Sympathy, yes, we must have sympathy and care and mutual comfort. But the norm is to exhort each other to be strong if we can solve the problem in that way. That's what I'm really showing you from the Word of God. It slips out of our attention too easily. So look at 2 Corinthians. If you like to turn on to 2 Corinthians, why, we could spend a week just looking at patience and resistance and endurance scriptures. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4. In all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. How do you do that, Paul? In much patience, patient endurance, patient resistance, holding up, maintaining loyalty, seeking strength from the Lord and his promises, rejoicing in the doctrines, praying to him in much patience. That's how we get authentication. That's how it is that we expect people to believe that we're true apostles and ministers of God, and that our word is from God, by our patience in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes. Oh, the patience he needed. In imprisonments, in tumults, in labours, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. What a passage to test ourselves by. Word by word. It's very humbling, isn't it? Patience in all these things. And by patience, we approve ourselves. We prove ourselves. We authenticate ourselves. That's the language of the apostle. Authenticating grace comes through patient endurance. Then I go on to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. This is interesting for us. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you. And there are three signs. We usually only look at two of them. Patience. In all patience. In signs and wonders and mighty deeds. We are more interested in the apostolic signs and wonders and mighty deeds. But the first authenticating factor for a true apostle or spokesman for the Lord, come to that, is much patience, all patience. That's a challenge. Patient endurance is a big sign. Now you haven't got the signs, how are you going to test the messengers? By their patience. It's the only sign you've got left. Their patient endurance. It's a test for all Christians, but especially for any servants of the Lord. So that's challenging. Then I go on to Galatians chapter 5. It's just a simple study on this patient endurance word group. And here it is in chapter 5 and verse 22. This doesn't actually have the word we want, but it's the sense. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Let me pull out long-suffering and temperance or self-control. Those will do for synonyms for patient endurance, I think you'll agree, won't they? And they're here in the passage as the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering and self-mastery, self-control, subduing of the angry retort, the testy reaction, the ill-tempered remark, the self-pity, the falling into those things, being able to be strong in these things. That's what the apostle is talking about. And then verse 24, this is the root to it. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We're constantly mortifying it, putting it to death. Look down to chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 is an intensely interesting word here. I read from verse 3. For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now our patient resistance term, patient endurance term, is not in this passage, but I thought this was so interesting, it throws light on it. Every man shall bear his own burden. The Greek word translated burden, it's an absolute accurate translation, it's literally freight or cargo. You're carrying cargo. Your ship going out to sea, or caravan of animals with a cargo. Yes, well, as I say, We're a hospital too, and we're to be sympathetic, and we're to bear and share one another's burdens. But, says the apostle, be careful. Not all the time, because the ideal is that you bear your own freight, your own cargo, your own burdens, your own duty to the Lord, your own Christian service. You bear it up yourself. So I haven't got the patient endurance word here, but the same teaching, you can see it. We will be patient and helpful, but our ultimate aim is to get each other standing on our feet and drawing from the Lord and bearing our own cargo and freight through the journey of life. It's a beautiful illustration implicit in the word. Today, there are many churches, their prescription is care for everybody, no labour for the Lord, no work, no stress, no strain, only one service a week in many of the new churches. I mentioned that recently, and all that kind of thing, and lots of fun, and lots of socialising, no labour, no standing on your own feet. But while we're sympathetic, that's the ideal for all of us. Am I strong? Am I drawing the strength of the Lord? Am I a burden bearer with patient endurance? He will help me. So I go back to the word which is directly translated as patience or endure. And it's in in Colossians chapter 1, I'm turning, and verses 10 to 14 I'd like to read to you. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. They've got three words there which give us the sense. Patient endurance, long-suffering, joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The theology of it is all laid out for us there. How do I become patient? I reflect on these things. Why, I who deserve nothing but judgment have such riches. I have eternal glory. I have a Saviour. I have the gift and the wonder of prayer. I have the mighty help of God poured out upon me. I have light and understanding. I have had blessing and fruit and help and support with abundance in time past. The apostle mentions them all. I don't have to give way to the pressures I'm under. I don't have to complain and be miserable. There's a work going on in us. God is using the distresses and deepening and strengthening me. It's all there in Colossians chapter 1. But time is going on, and I turn quickly to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Just pointing out these words. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labour of love and patience of hope. Three terms there. Your work of faith. Because you believe in the Lord and you believe in his power to bless, so you work for him. And your labour, now the volume of the word is turned up to something even stronger. Labour, that's even harder, of love, because you love souls and the people you seek to reach and the little children you teach. And patience of hope or anticipation, anticipating the great reward and the blessing of God. So there's a formula in verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, a kind of threefold engine for the energy of patience. And remember your election in verse 4 of the same passage. But I turn to 2 Thessalonians. See how often the term crops up and is mentioned. And in verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. You're talked about. You are a suffering church, the apostle says to them. And word of you has gone abroad, and you're such an encouragement to other believers. And you're held up as an example. In what particular way, Paul? Is it our evangelistic program? Is it this? Is it that? Well, he tells us what it is. It's for your patience and faith, prized by God, spoken of in other churches, your reaction to great pressures and difficulties in your region, politically, from the Jews, from all kinds of people, and their patience and faith is what stands out. And we're not thinking about patience very much. How patient am I? How much endurance have I improved this year? Am I falling down? Yet it's my witness. It's noticed. It's applauded by my God. It's desired continually through the scriptures. So we need to think more about patience. I've just a little more to do. My clock here isn't working, but I think we have a little more time. And in 2 Timothy, if you'd like to turn to it, we're almost at the close. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 11. Thou hast fully known, Timothy, my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And then these words, yea, and all, including us, that will live godly in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution in some shape or form. The great all. Then I turn on, friends, to Hebrews. And this brings us to our last book for quoting from. And in chapter 11, faith chapters, and verse 33. Who the great heroes of faith have been named? Who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, you know the passage, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And we could read it all the way to the end. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise of Messiah, of Christ, God having provided some better thing for us, the New Testament generations, that they without us should not be made perfect. Could you have gone through all their trials and tribulations? What a light passage we have today, dear friends. What light afflictions. And we learn patience in the midst of them. We could look at chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, the heroes of faith of chapter 11, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patient endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Is your husband irritating you right now? Is there something he hasn't done? He should have done it, maybe. And so you're losing patience with him. Ha! Rejoice. You've got a trial, an opportunity to learn patience. Thank God he didn't do it, because it's going to build up your patience. And similarly, you have a wife, and she keeps reminding you of something, and you're getting irritated with her. Thank the Lord. You're going to have to exercise great patience and love and affection. I'm just bringing it home. What an opportunity to build up patience, so that when the big affliction comes, you're strong. You've had ample opportunities to build up patience. I said I'd close in this chapter, maybe with verse 15 and one more text after that. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. He's not necessarily unconverted. He just hasn't been praying for the help of God in his afflictions. So he's become very impatient. And soon he's fallen into blaming anyone and everyone for all his unhappiness and trials. And eventually he gets round to the church, and the church is at fault, and everyone in the church is at fault. And this is wrong, and that's wrong, and something else is wrong. And it's a root of bitterness, and many may be defiled. Well, we believe in sympathy and affection and helping, but we want to get each other appreciating the goodness of God and the blessings which are ours, before it gets into a terrible state where we become a burden and damage to other souls around us, and spiritual grumblers and complainers. That's sad. That's tragic. So we want to get at patience and build it up, patient endurance, at an early stage. But I didn't mean to depress you. Just look on to James quickly as we close. Chapter 1 and then verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience, patient endurance, have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What a promise. The work within, it can be done. At James chapter 5 and verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. And verse 10, take, my brethren, the prophets, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. And the last verse of all, verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. May we build up our patience and become like Christ, endurers. That's how he's described. Endurance, patient endurance, resistance, bearing up, it's a mark of grace. It's a sign of true faith. It's a rewarding stance to take, and leads to true happiness. It's a duty, of course. It's a necessity for witness and for blessing. Without patient endurance, we cannot be blessed. It's a qualification, you see. And in its way, it's an act of worship, an act of trust. I love the hymns of John Newton. I think he has more hymns about patience than any other hymn writer. The man who, somebody said in derision, was a mere rhymer, has an absolute treasure store of Patience references in his hymns. Spot them, value them, cherish them, pray them, make them your own. He knew all about the development of patience. May God bless this simple study to us this evening. Let's close singing together the hymn 445. Hymn number 445. We have not known thee as we ought.